The show you're about to listen to is very old and comes with a warning. When we recorded these shows over a decade ago, the world was a different place and we were little more than children. As a result of this, you might hear a few things that by today's standards we judge to be inappropriate or offensive. Please don't be offended. In the years that have passed since recording these shows, we've all grown up to be wonderful, loving, liberal, free-thinking, open-minded individuals. If the us from over a decade ago say something to upset the you of today, please understand that we're as disgusted with ourselves as you are. But isn't this what life is all about? Learning and growing? We all said and did things in our younger days that make us cringe when we think about them. We just recorded it and put it out on the internet. With all that in mind, I hope you enjoy the show. Oh, and there's just one more thing. Don't email the show or try to enter competitions. We don't have that email anymore, and all the competitions are over. We do have a Facebook group where you're very welcome to discuss any aspects of the podcast. Please visit simplysyndicated.com for more information.
Okay, and welcome to the latest edition of Movies You Should See. This week we are talking about Memento, the 2000 film from Christopher Nolan. Hi, I'm Mike Dawson.
I'm Tristan Oldfield.
I'm Richard Smith.
And this week, my name is Craig Bevan.
You cheeky little bastard.
Also this week we have Alison in the room.
Hi,
say
Alison.
Hello.
My lovely girlfriend. Who's been very kind enough to tolerate us destroying her living room for the evening.
You'll be tidying up later.
I will.
I was quite looking forward to saying a huge shout out all the way across the other side of the room to Alison.
Well, you said it now.
You said it now.
Well done.
And she's said hi again.
Yeah, good.
Wow. Brilliant. So you have two Hays to choose from.
I guarantee
Richard won't edit the show. He refuses.
I can't just edit like that. Yeah. It doesn't work like that.
I'm an editor. It really does work like that.
Right, okay, I'll tell you the difference, right? If it's like you wanting to edit a person out of a frame of film who's in the middle of the picture.
It's called Photoshop.
You can do
I have
it
to have
on,
an answer
you
for
can
everything.
Do it on film, but you can't.
Yeah, well,
do it
see,
yourself.
Rich is it's not fine. Recording us on four separate tracks. He's decided to mix us down into. Why are we even talking about this?
Let me link.
Okay.
It's funny we should talk about editing and editing style.
Yeah.
Because, well, what was the craziest feature about Memento?
Oh, they'll see what he did.
Oh, that was clever.
Yeah, it goes backwards. Exceptionally.
So clever.
So very clever.
It is a very simple picture.
No, you had to remind me why I hang around with you.
Because I'm clever.
Yeah. The editing,
not
yes.
Not going to be like me.
Memento. The thing that everyone knows Memento for is the fact that it is a film that runs in chronological, not only in reverse chronological order, but in it also has a series of flashbacks.
Chronological
tick in the box. Yeah, so basically you have two timelines running. One is the main story, which works literally scene after scene backwards, and the other is a flashback which takes place before the main bulk of the story,
which picks up the story and the you know the motivations behind.
Yeah, which is it basically is the yeah, like you said it better, and that's all jumbled up. I don't think that's in any particular order, is it? That's all kind of a mishmash. It ends.
It's kind of in order, isn't it? The flashback one.
No, because no. It goes back into
Sammy Jenkins.
Times
it goes into him in the motel room.
Him and his wife.
Yeah, that's true.
That's in chronological order, though.
Yeah, him telling the tale is in chronological order,
and then
they have flashbacks within the flashbacks. Yeah.
This is the most important thing to say about this film. That is not just a gimmick. There are films that have done this before and had no particular reason to run the story backwards, but Memento does have its very clear reasons, as it is about a man with short-term memory loss. And basically, the character, I can't remember the character's name, Richard.
Leonard.
The character's
or
name.
Or Lenny.
Leonard, played by Guy Pearce.
You nearly said Richie.
I nearly did. It was on the cusp. is basically has a form of amnesia, which means he can't remember things that happened about 5 minutes ago. Yeah. So he can't watch TV shows or
he's
films.
He's in fact the human goldfish.
Yeah. But he likes adverts. They're short, they're sweet, they're to the point. I can't believe you just said that.
This is Sammy Jenkins you're talking this about is now, Sammy specifically.
Specifically Sammy Jenkins, but it's the same affliction. And this comes from when a pair of thieves enter his house, knock him out and kill his wife. And when he's knocked out, he ends up getting this amnesia, which is, the point of it is that it's, the structure of the film is based on his own amnesia. So this is basically Christopher Nolan's trick. If you ever watched Insomnia, no film will ever make you want to go to sleep as much as that film.
But not in a bad way.
It's
the fact that you gain such an empathy with the character, you can really, really relate to his, you know, feelings and emotions and whatever he's going through at the time.
That's what the structure's there for. It's there so you don't know what has happened 5 minutes before, and neither does he.
Yeah.
And so you're piecing it together in exactly the same way as he's piecing
it together.
I feel
so fucking thick.
Why? Really?
I didn't pick up because I was actually about to talk about how the editing structure works so well, because you see something, you don't properly understand it, and then dramatically when you see what happened before it redefines what you've just watched.
Yeah.
And now I feel stupid.
No, it's the same. It does work like that as well.
Yeah, but I hadn't thought of it in the most obvious terms, which is what you just said.
Okay.
Being along with the character on the journey, it's good storytelling.
Mm. It is.
I only just got that. Yeah.
Okay. So maybe I'm the only one who thought this.
Excuse me.
Okay, Craig as well.
Mr. Goldfish ain't so bad anymore.
Yes, he is. Fuck off.
Yes, he is.
And then any ladies interested in Craig, his phone number is. Yeah, so it works backwards, and this is also another thing. When I first heard about this film, when I first heard about what the structure was, I thought instantly it came to my mind, well, how the hell is that going to work? Because surely you'd know what happens at the start. But it's so fucking clever, because it doesn't... The end, as it were, redefines everything that you've seen before as well, in a very, very clever way. We won't go into how it does that, but it does.
No, I think if we can avoid giving away too much plot on this one, we should.
Yes, definitely.
An absolute ripper. Who's the guy who plays the private detective?
Joe Palantino.
Yeah.
Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
That's how I say it.
Pantaliano,
isn't it?
Pantaliano, maybe.
He's been in so many films.
He's been in fuckloads. He was brilliant in The Sopranos. He was amazing in The Matrix. He's
Joe Pantoliano.
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 Okay. We're just going to call him the PI.
It's a cool name. I am Joe. My friend has called me PI.
Or he's Teddy, isn't he? Teddy.
Yeah. Brilliant. So the character of Leonard goes through this, and he's got this PI with him who's, well...
The film is about Leonard's quest to find his wife's killer, but of course, how do you follow a murder investigation when you can't remember what you've just learned?
Yeah.
He writes himself endless amounts of notes.
He even goes to the length of tattooing certain facts and things on his body.
So everything that he absolutely needs to know.
So he just looks in the mirror and then realizes...
The tattoos, I might sound weird for saying this, but the tattoos are beautiful. The way they're designed on his body, they are fantastic. Yeah. There's little things, I mean, even down to the practicality of them, where he has inverted, so when he looks down onto his stomach, he will be able to read the word eat.
Yeah, and one of them's backwards, so when he looks in the mirror, it reads forwards, and...
Basically anything about
the aesthetic of the tattoos.
Yeah, they're just so well designed to the point that you kind of think, I wouldn't mind
writing all over my body.
Yes.
I prefer post-its.
He does use post-its as well.
And Polaroids with notes written on the back of them.
Yes, of like different people that he's met and
his comments about them.
Yeah. It's quite comedy when he'll meet the same character about 6 or 7 times during the course of the film, and obviously he's meeting them for the first time six or seven times because he just can't remember them.
And it has to explain his condition to some point. Other characters turn around and say, yes, you've told me before.
Yes, every single time. I'm sure I've told you about my condition. Yeah. Yes.
And then later on in the film, which is actually earlier on in the chronology, he will explain the condition and the person
for the
will
first
actually
time.
For the first time, the person will listen properly. Yeah. It's the gimmick is one thing. What's also fucking stunning about this film is Guy Pearce's performance.
Yeah. And come all the way from Neighbours. Come on, big hand to the man.
Big hand. One of the few to escape. He's very, very good in this. It's an exceptionally well-written part because not only is it... He's our hero, effectively. He's the person we're following on this noble crusade, this quest to find the killers of his wife. And he's actually a bit of a cunt as well, which is the interesting thing.
Nobody said the hero had to be a nice guy.
No one had to say he had to be a nice guy, but that's one of the good things about this film is the fact that he's not just the perfect, flawless hero. He's actually a bit of a dick as well sometimes. And
I don't really think so.
No, he's not too bad.
He's not too bad.
But he's got good reasons to be pissed off.
Is a bit, you know, but... I don't know.
Not just the choices that he makes, but just, just the choices that he makes. And I don't want to go too much into why he's a bit of a dick. But some of the things that he does to himself, which basically, you know, the idea of somebody who's, oh, woe is me, I'm so fucking hard done by it. And actually,
but he's not really.
He's not,
because he's got such... I don't know, a condition like that would really turn you into someone...
I'm not talking about the condition, I'm talking about the vendetta.
Okay.
So it's basically, I like the fact that he's a flawed character personally. I think he's a very flawed character. And I think that the performance of that is good as well, for the fact that you still want to know what's going next. He doesn't make himself into an absolute cunt, otherwise you wouldn't be interested. But he does bring an element of realism to his own character by portraying that side, rather than just the... I'm right and I'm good. Great. So that's basically all I'd say about that.
Okay, again, talking about the story, I'd like to mention the sheer level of thought and depth that has gone into every shot in this film. You watch it the first time, you'll think you've picked up everything. You'll watch it a second time because you will want to, and you'll learn more. And each time, if you are looking, you will find a new level in production, a shot that was maybe 5 seconds long that tells you so much. And this is a point where I'd love to ruin it for everybody, but I'm not going to. There will be bits that I still haven't seen.
Yeah.
And I've watched this film so many times.
Mm. Yeah, I watched it again. Well, me and Rich both watched it on Monday for the second time. And just little bits, it was just like, oh, yes, of course. And, you know, like you say, you just pick up so much more. So, yeah, you should see this film, and you should see it again.
This was actually based on a short story by Christopher Nolan's brother, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah, it was. I've never read the short story, nor do I know anything about it. And this might be a good time to go on to Christopher Nolan, actually, and talk about him and his successes. First started with The Following, which was a low-budget British film.
Extremely low-budget.
Very low budget.
Came from a concept of he worked out that if he could shoot a short film, which lasted 5 minutes for £300-£400, multiply that by the running time, and that's how much money he needed.
Yeah.
Good concept.
That makes sense to me.
Fair enough. Yeah, he did that, and then he did Memento, and that's really what put him on the map, and then he went on to do Insomnia, and now the latest Batman film.
Yes, Christopher Nolan, my hat off to you.
Mm-hmm.
Dear God, that was a good film.
It was. It was.
Once again, very, very good, and also in keeping with his style and trying to bring you very much into
the empathy
of the central character. Christopher Nolan very much sticks with the one... Wherever people play films with ensemble casts and lots of different characters coming together in different ways, he always sticks with his main man.
Yeah.
And that's one of the good things with his films.
Big focus on central character.
Mm. And not digressing too far off. In fact, Batman was the biggest digression from that, but even that still kept with Bruce Wayne and Batman.
What for Batman, when I was watching it, because there was the danger, I think we were all slightly worried that maybe he was going to go to Hollywood, because Batman, however you look at it, it's a blockbuster movie. And the opening shot where all the bats start flying out, I was sitting there going, oh God, it's going to form the bat symbol, oh God, it's going to form the bat symbol. And it did, but subtly, it was just there as an impression. At that moment, I was like, right, this film's going to be fucking great.
Mm.
Because he came at it with an art house edge.
Yeah.
and it puts such a whole spin. You know, Joel Schumacher, I'm sorry, you've made some good films, but Batman and Robin certainly wasn't one of them.
No.
I think that's maybe the worst film of all time.
It's one of them.
It's definitely up there.
It's definitely one of them.
Whereas this Batman was the best Batman.
No, I'm Rich. I'm with you, mate. Michael Keaton's, I thought, was brilliant. Well, Tim Burton's, I think, is brilliant, and I love it. And some may say it's definitive, but this reinvented it for me.
The only really one I'd put above it, possibly, is the original 1960s Adam West one, which is awesome.
They may be drinkers, Robin, but they're also human beings.
I like the episode in Only Fools and Horses myself.
But when he goes in the water and he gets the shark on his leg.
Get the shark repellent.
The shark repellent bat spray.
Barracuda.
What the hell is that?
Stingray. Shark. The shark falls off and blows up as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, so I think it explodes.
Taking a step back from Adam West to Christian Bale. Taking a step back from Christian Bale to Christopher Nolan and back to Memento.
Which, incidentally, where was it rated on IMDb?
Oh, hang on. 23?
23 of the greatest movies all time.
I'd just like to say, I doubt there are many people listening to us who haven't used IMDb. But if you do, I will put out a free plug for them. They are fucking amazing. The definitive movie site.
Yeah.
And it has its 250 top greatest films. And if something manages to get into there, it means it has enough votes and has a high enough rating for it to be in there. And it does actually go a long way, in my book anyway, if something's in there. Mm. And Memento is. It's...
I love the trivia more than anything.
What were we saying before we started recording? We said, "Oh, save that for the recording."
Oh, God knows.
Because it was that, wasn't it?
For order of...
Watching it.
Rich, gone, mate.
Okay, Alison.
So, as we've said, the structure of the film is that you find everything out after it's already happened, sort of thing. So you sit through the film going, that's it. That's how you sit through the film. Now, there is an option on the DVD to play the film forwards, so to speak.
It's a hidden Easter egg, isn't it?
I don't know. It might actually be a menu option.
No, I'm sure. Well, I'm sure it was hidden. Anyway, well, let's not quibble over that.
But there is the option there to watch it forwards, and I've never seen it forward. I'm told it's terrible that way.
Well, it wouldn't be as good, and as we've just said, the whole premise of the film is about...
It would kind of be like watching a normal film backwards. It really...
it wouldn't
if you
be that
think
bad.
About it.
It wouldn't be that bad. It would just switch... Right, okay. When you watch it normally, you already know who the killer is. Right, I'm not...
Wait a minute, what do you mean by normally? Because normally is backwards.
When you watch it backwards...
Yeah.
You already know how the story unfolds.
Off, the first scene, you know that he finds the guy and he kills him. Because obviously it would be a pointless movie otherwise. Wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so we know he's going to do it. And the surprise of the movie comes from seeing how everything happened.
Yeah.
Instead of finding out who the bad guy is.
Yeah.
Which is how it would work normally. So surely watching it forwards just switches it round, that you actually get the tension from finding out who the guy is that it kills in the end.
No, because of the way that the structure is made.
Would you find it out?
You'd find it out at the start, and then it would be all about how long it takes him to realise what he's done and then gets around to killing him.
Incidentally, Rich has not given the plot away. He's just thrown a red herring at you, so do watch the film.
Oh, you can't give the plot away.
You haven't, though. You haven't at all.
I mean...
No, what he said happens in the first scene of the film, and it hasn't ruined anything.
No. It would be a terrible movie if we watch him struggle to find his wife's killer, and he doesn't. That would be awful.
Not necessarily.
Mike would like it because it would be dark.
Of course he's going to kill him. That's how films work. You're going to see the film about the man looking for his wife's killer. You expect him to find her. It's just like when you're going to see the film about the kids' sports team that's not very good.
Oh, yeah, but you expect them to triumph in the face of adversity.
It's the same thing.
That's why I love Kingpin so much. He doesn't win.
Yeah. It's awesome.
I've ruined Kingpin now, by the way.
That's why I love Titanic. It sinks.
Yeah. Didn't you make that joke a couple of shows ago?
You try and make that every joke, every time.
Something we didn't mention last week.
3, 2, 1...
Cock.
And oh, shit! I missed it.
I am deeply embarrassed now.
Cock.
So anyway, back to Memento. I'd also like to point out Carrie Ann Moss, which is
an interesting point.
Anyone who thinks that Carrie Ann Moss is wank based on the Matrix trilogy needs to watch this film.
She's not fit.
Well,
though.
The Matrix trilogy was a pathetic, terrible, terrible thing.
That's very,
very controversial. But
I didn't complete the training.
One of the worst lines in Hollywood history.
It was pathetic.
Yeah, but let's not refer to it as a whole. The Matrix was a stunning setup.
The first one was amazing.
But it just didn't follow through at all.
The second.
I'd like to blame Joel Silver, but we never know. The Wachowski brothers could have been heading that way anyway.
I still thoroughly enjoyed the second too. You know, it was a bit bollocks, but
I did the first because I remember we were at uni when Reloaded came out, and I came running in going, "It's wicked! It's wicked!" Took you guys to see it, and I sat through it the second time going, "This is a bit wank. I'm sorry."
No. I remember sitting with you. I love you too damn much.
It was bad.
I remember seeing that the first time with you, and you turning to me at the end and saying, "What the fuck just happened, Mike?"
Oh yeah, it's also the only movie I've ever been confused in because the architect threw me
concordantly vis-a-vis. See, I knew what concordantly vis-a-vis and ergo actually meant, so I was actually all right with that one. But
ergo, I have no idea ergo what I'm talking about.
So anyway, the hell did we get to the
Carrie
Matrix?
Carrie Ann Moss.
I heard a story once about Carrie Ann Moss, who went into a toy store in America to buy a Trinity figure, just for the... Well, you would if you...
In fairness, figure of me.
There was an action figure of me, I'd damn well expect to just be sent one.
Well, yeah, that is a point.
I'm not going into Toy Master to buy my own fucking action figure. Anyway, she takes it to the till. The woman behind the till looks at the doll, just swipes it through, doesn't really look up, and goes, "My husband's got a crush on Trinity too. Does your husband fancy her?" Put the thing through, and she just went, "Yeah, I think he does."
I hope he does.
Ooh, she has wit as well.
But she's really good in this film. That's basically the point I was trying to make. She's not very good in The Matrix, but then
nobody was fit though.
She's not. I didn't say she was fit. There's
Lawrence Fishburne and Joe. I can't say his name.
Palantino
was fantastic in The Matrix.
Italiano.
And all that. But
incidentally, how is it that Lawrence Fishburne didn't play Morpheus as well in Reloaded and Revolutions as he did in the first? I couldn't figure that out at all.
A bit toss, wasn't he?
Because Morpheus was dark in the
because
first.
Because the second two films were so bad that they actually spawned badness to everything that ever went near them and destroyed it. And that's what happened.
We're
going
to have to do this in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I feel the Matrix coming on.
Mm.
I hate Matrix.
Maybe it'll be a 3-edition special.
I'm not talking about the Matrix that much.
I think you've got plenty to say. So, anyway.
I think there's demons there, Richard.
Memento, not just a gimmick, plays very well.
Can I read some interesting trivia?
Go on.
Some very interesting trivia. It was shot in 25 days.
That is bloody good going, considering. Yeah, that is very good going.
Teddy's phone number, which is 555-0134, is the same as Marla Singer's phone number in Fight Club.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay.
I didn't read anymore.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, let's wrap up there. Memento, very good film, runs well backwards as well as forward. Guy Pearce is amazing, and
Christopher Nolan rocks.
I'm just going to drop another bombshell on you. Sorry. Christopher Nolan's first choice for the role of Leonard was Alec Baldwin.
Who's Alec Baldwin?
Guy Pearce.
Yes.
One of the greatest actor who's ever lived.
You won't out-have me, boy. Don't even try.
So, anyway, from me, Mike Dawson.
Me, Justin Oakfield. Good evening.
Me, Craig Bevan. Good night.